Well, it's time to discuss some of the big issues facing the world at the moment with the one and only Alex Selios from The Big Smoke. G'day, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very well. An interesting question. Is your personality being judged the moment you tell someone your name? Now, with a name like Stephen Senatiempo or a name like Alexandra Selios, we're probably judged more than anyone.
Well, the funny thing is, I was saying to somebody recently that a newspaper in Melbourne once interviewed me about my heritage.
Yep.
And I'm the most boring person because I've never been brought up with anyone that is not really Australian in the sense that I didn't have any cultural background that I could give them. So they were like, what's your favourite Greek dish? And I'm like, I don't know any. What's your favourite Greek word? I'm not too sure. I don't know any. And so I think I was the biggest disappointment to that newspaper. But this is all about name bias. It's the idea that we subconsciously associate a name with either a personality trait or, for example, a trajectory. So, for example, a lot of names in the geoscience field, George and Jeffrey, John and Andrew are very common names for CEOs. So we have this association, but when it comes to judging your personality based on your name, three different studies were done on this, where they basically asked people to reflect on different aspects of one's personality based solely on their name. And what they found was that names like Katie or Jack were seen as extroverted, whereas Joannas and Owens and Lawrence were all seen as introverts or maybe a more emotional person or more likely to be agreeable.
You know what would have been interesting? To do this study around some of these new modern made-up names we have these days, because, I mean, we've seen since Game of Thrones people calling their daughters Khaleesi and the like. It would be very interesting to see how they would hold up in a study like this.
Well, and also, it does also remind us that when you have a child in a particular decade, often what you name that child really associates them with that decade. So, for example, the 90s, there were all these Willows and Rivers and Summers, and all. Yeah. And then in the 80s, there were all these Kylies. And so it's interesting how a particular name can actually then tell you exactly what their parents were likely to be like during that time.
Yeah, okay. Fascinating stuff. Look, we admire people who do good, but apparently we don't want to date them. Why?
I think that it's really interesting to think about the fact that you can admire someone and you think that they are morally impressive, but they're not actually somebody that you would want to date. And a series of studies from a neuroscientist looked into altruism as not being attractive. It was the idea that we admire the do-gooders, but we wouldn't date them. And there are a number of reasons why. First of all, it's the dilemma of not wanting to be judged. You don't want to be someone who every time you eat meat, for example, and your partner maybe is a vegan, always tells you about the cruelty to animals. You don't want to, every time you take the rubbish out, be reminded, hey, are you recycling properly? You have to do this. It's this idea that we feel judged in that moment. So the research says that while we look up to these people, we think they're altruistic, that we think that they're morally impressive personalities, they're not necessarily going to be great partners. And a really good comparison was the show The Good Place on Netflix, where the protagonist is really annoyed by the guy in it who's trying to teach her how to be a better person.
Yes, it's a very, very funny show. If you haven't seen The Good Place, get on that. I kind of understand that because, you know, you admire somebody from afar, but then you kind of want to be hooked up with a person that's going to do naughty stuff with you.
And I think also the other thing is feeling like you can relax around that person.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily want to be with someone who, and I think it depends on what sort of personality you're like, because everyone does this in different degrees, but being challenged all the time. You want to be able, like, for example, I had a partner and he would watch really dumb shows and I would sit there and question, you know, whether or not he was smart to him, and he just wants to enjoy his show.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you think you're unpacking something, you think that you're being interesting and you're questioning things and you're an intriguing person, but actually you're just annoying.
Alex, are we both single because we're too judgmental, perhaps?
I think there's elements of that. I'll own that.
Last but not least, I want to ask you this. Why the hell are people selling their own Facebook data on eBay?
You know, this is clever. This is taking a bit of control back, if not for any other reason than and just trying to make a token gesture. So we all know that the Tinders and the WhatsApps and the Instagrams and even Fitbit, they're all collecting our data, then selling our data on their business models are based purely on the data that they can aggregate about their users, which is valuable to an advertiser. Now, one guy in particular in the UK actually downloaded all of his data from Facebook, which is easy to do. You just go to your settings and you can download all activity. And he uploaded it to eBay and offered it for a cash amount. And people bid on it because data is valuable. And I guess the idea around it was, if they're going to make money off my data, why shouldn't I also?
But isn't the value in data in having a database of thousands or millions of names, the data associated with one name is probably not worth much at all, is it?
Well, it is when you think about market penetration, when you think about how does somebody respond to different ads, why does somebody like one Facebook page over another? It's actually more from a market research perspective than necessarily mass advertising. But that data is still interesting, and it's why a lot of money is spent by corporations in just understanding who their customer base is, through surveys and through different sources of just having phone calls and feedback sessions. These companies need to know who they're selling to do it effectively.
So I guess the question is, if you sell your own data, is it still then valuable to a hacker?
It would be still valuable because it's valuable as a whole. It's not a hacker is unlikely, unless you're somebody who is particularly significant for whatever reason, unlikely to, focus on Joe from Adelaide. So they tend to want mass amounts of data for that to be valuable to them.
Yeah.
But from a research perspective, it is interesting. And like I said, a lot of companies even give away incentives just to get surveys, filled out. So I just thought it was an interesting thing for this guy to take back a bit of control, for no other reason than a token gesture.
Alex, it's always fascinating speaking to you. We'll catch up again next week.
Thank you.
Alex Selios from thebigsmoke.com.au back with us next week on Australia by Night.